Brethren, if you want to jot a title down for the message today, it's titled Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Brethren, in light of the increased racial, economic, religious, political, civil, national, international tensions, event after event of murderous acts, both published and unpublicized here in our nation and around the world, I want us, each of us, as ambassadors for Christ, that's who we are, ambassadors not of this world, of this nation, of this country, but ambassadors of Jesus Christ, ambassadors of the kingdom of God, to consciously, intentionally, with clarity of thought and explicit purpose, consider who we are. This world is collapsing. This world is on a spiral in the wrong direction. We have to consider who we are. What is our mindset? Where should our ire, our emotions, our sentiment, our passion, our attitude, and our energy be focused? Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Here Paul makes this very clear statement to us, to those at Corinth, to each of us today. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." That is what's taking place. God is pleading through us. That is who we are. We can't forget that. You know, when you're on your job, when you're in your neighborhood, when you're with your relatives, God is pleading through you to be an example of something different than what this world is seeing at this time. He says, "Now we are then ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Paul says we must be at one with God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God in him. When we look at this world as the righteousness of God, God pleading through us as the ambassadors of Christ, what should be in our heart and on our mind? Jesus Christ provides us with insight with what was on his mind as he looked at the crumbling world at his time. Go with me over to Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. The world has been in a constant state of crumbling. God the Father and Jesus Christ has continually provided ambassadors to show his way of life, to represent his way of life. And we have a task of preaching the gospel, both in word and in action and in thought. How are we doing in that role as ambassadors for Christ? Jesus Christ provides us insight into what his mindset was and therefore what our mindset should be. And he addressed a very chilling question. A question that by what's being asked here likely came from someone who Jesus Christ had been working with. It says, "Then Jesus Christ went through the towns and the villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem." So Jesus Christ is on his way to Jerusalem. He's visiting these different towns. He's seeing the people. He's seeing the conditions. He's seeing what's taking place there on his way. And someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few," and I'm reading this out of the NIV, "are only a few people going to be saved?" So this person that was traveling with him, also looking at the conditions of what was taking place, was like, "This is bad. The state of mind of the people is bad. What's going to happen?" And Jesus said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Those who are coming to the door are those who have been called into the work of God. That's us. He's speaking to the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Those are the ones who are coming to the door. He says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, verse 25, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. What a warning. Verse 26, then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. So he took those who had come to the door, those whom he had called, those who refused to hear the calling, those who refused to recognize the fact that they were ambassadors of Jesus Christ, with the expectation that their perspective on what was happening around them should have been different. And he lumped them in with the evildoers. Are we going to be lumped in with the evildoers of this world? With all the mayhem that we see. He goes on to say here in verse 28, there will be weeping there, gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. That is truth. We have to recognize the fact that just is not a matter of once called, once saved, always saved. We have a responsibility to be different than what we see happening in this world. In your own individual personal life, with those you interact with, in whatever means it is, are you an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Because there is a warning here, but you yourselves thrown out. Verse 29, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first, who will be last. I can't emphasize enough that this is not a game that we're in. The ministry has no way of knowing what you are doing in your life on a daily or weekly or an hourly basis. We don't know. Be assured, Jesus Christ and God the Father does know. And as a result of them knowing, as a result of them calling you, calling me into this ambassadorship, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the stakes are high. The calling is serious. And we all can sit here at church and blend in well. And our lives, when we are away, are not consistent with our belief. We are ambassadors for Christ. For those who are called by God to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, it tells us here, the way is narrow. It's narrow. It's not wide open. It's not a matter that we can do whatever we want to do, act whatever way we want to act. It's narrow. It's a narrow way. Consider what Jesus Christ states after traveling through those cities, through those villages, teaching there in Jerusalem. Drop down to verse 34, Luke 13, verse 34. You know, as Jesus Christ looked at the condition and the state of Jerusalem, the state of that holy city, where the concentration of his people were, he exclaimed these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, with all that has taken place in this world and in our society, and time will grow worse, and things will escalate, things are escalating, our mindset and prayer and passion must be like Jesus Christ here. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, world, oh, world. Oh, Dallas, oh, Dallas. Oh, Nice. Oh, Orlando, Baltimore, Chicago, Minnesota, Louisiana, Paris. As we look out on this world, like Jesus Christ, we are to be representing a different nation, a different mindset, a different spirit. For us, the ambassadors of Christ, we must not forget Jesus Christ's prayer to the Father over in Luke 17, verse 15. Luke 17 and verse 15, after Jesus Christ exclaims, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, in chapter 13, go with me over to John 17, verse 15. John 17, verse 15. He says here, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Yes, they're my ambassadors. Yes, this world is corrupting. Yes, it is collapsing. But I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There is evil in this world. He says here in verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Are we of this world? You see, an ambassador who goes to a different country does not take up the citizenry of that country. That ambassador maintains the citizenry of the country from which he or she has been sent. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We no longer belong to this country. Spiritually, Jesus Christ and God the Father looks down on us as citizens of the kingdom of God. As ambassadors of the kingdom of God, do we get that? Do we understand that? Jesus Christ said here, we are not of this world. Not of this world. I don't think we as the called of God clearly get that. I mean, really grasp the reality and the significance and the truth that we are not of this world. We must look around at this world and realize that we are not of this world and exclaim like Jesus Christ said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You know, today I'm not going to spend time explaining the mindset of the individual at the wheel of that truck who killed 84 people on Thursday, including 10 children and adolescents, injuring over 202, 52 in critical condition, 25 still in comas, over there in Nice, France, or the killing of the 5 police officers in Dallas, Texas, or the bombing a month or so ago at the Orlando nightclub, or the reported rape of hundreds of women by European refugees, or the police murder of unarmed men, be they innocent or be they thugs. You just don't know what's going on. Or the carnage by ISIL, or the bombings and collateral killings by coalition forces. I'm not going to delve into that, or the rhetoric of either of our presidential candidates, or the governmental coup that took place last night over in Turkey, or the epidemic of nightly killings that pass out of the headlines now, but the multiple deaths that take place in cities across the globe because of drug infestation, or the child trafficking that takes place, or the domestic abuse, or the number of individuals who just says, I just can't take it anymore. I've had it up to here. I can't take it anymore. And they decide to take their own life. I'm not going to take someone else's life. I've had it up to here. I'm over with this life. God has called us to be ambassadors. What goes through our mind and our psyche when we are seeing these things take place? You know, according to the statistics from the American Association for Suicidology, in 2004, the latest complete data that we have, in 2004, here in the United States, 42,773 suicides. That's 117 suicides a day. In the richest nation on this earth, Thirty-three thousand were males, 9,000 females, 38,000 whites, 4,000 non-whites, 2,400 were blacks, elderly, 65 years and older, 7,600. Between ages of 15 to 24, 5,000. Middle-aged, between 45 and 64, 16,924. This world is collapsing. If not us, then who? We're called to be ambassadors. This is all reflective of this world in which we live. What I like to do, instead of trying to delve into the mindset of this sad world, I want to go through Scripture for us as ambassadors of Jesus Christ and understand the perspective of Scripture, of truth of God, the truth of God's Word, which is the truth as it relates to this world, this society, this civilization that is Satan's world. And as I went through that, you have to recognize that this is Satan's world. He is behind this. He is inspiring this. And there are only a few that are in training right now and as ambassadors of the kingdom of God to be learning how to live differently in this world through the power of God's Holy Spirit. What does the Bible have to say about this world? I'll be referencing several scriptures pretty much sequentially through the Bible that specifically speaks about this world, and hope that we all take some time to review in deeper context our own personal calling and a deeper understanding of how we are processing the evil that we are hearing on the news and seeing in the news and experiencing in our life. How are we processing that? We need to process it as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Not as citizens of this world. Not as citizens of this nation. But as citizens of the kingdom of God. Let's begin this walk through Scripture fairly sequentially. I want to just begin over in the New Testament, over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. You see, this is Satan's world. Satan knows it. He knows that he has but a short time. And it was his focus, it was his desire to throw Christ off the mark, because he knew and he knows that the only salvation for this world is Jesus Christ and those whom he and the Father are working through. That's you and I. So right from the beginning, Jesus Christ wants to throw, the devil wants to throw Jesus Christ off the mark. So it says here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, then the devil, taking him, Jesus Christ, up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, of this system, in a moment of time. What time did he show him? Did he show him the 1940s? The 1950s? Did he show him 2000? Or did he show him what's actually happening right now? Or did he show him some beautiful age and the beautiful skyscrapers there in New York City and Manhattan, the Twin Towers, and how beautiful they were? He said, this all can be yours. Look at all the palaces over in France. They can all be yours. Look at the beautiful rivers that flow through Italy. They can all be yours. Christ? And the devil said to him, verse 6, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. That should send a little bit chills up and down your spine. You wonder what's happening out there in the world right now? You want to know what's driving ISIL? You don't want to know what's behind the death and the carnage? Satan is delving out his power to whomever he wishes. And how are we processing that as ambassadors of Christ is the question. Jesus Christ's response was, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Verse 7, he says, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus Christ answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This is Satan's world for now. God is allowing that to be the case. But where should we be in relationship to Satan's world? Are we, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, in any way deceived by the philosophies flowing from the kingdoms of Satan's world? Do we get emotionally wrapped up in the racial politics or the economic politics or the national politics? Do we get wrapped up in whether they'll build a wall between here and Mexico? Or whatever the latest solution might be in Satan's messed up world? Or are we maintaining the perspective of, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem? We'll be over to Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22 says, now he who receives seed, that seed is the truth of God, the calling of God among thorns, is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the cares in this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Jesus Christ is speaking to us, the ambassadors. That's who he's speaking to. We're the ones who have been given the seed. Where have we sown it? Have we sown it among thorns? You know, that is the danger of getting too focused in this world, too focused on this world. There is a mountain of cares and concerns in this world. You know, it says here, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. There are a mountain of cares in this world, opinions and perspectives, along with deceitful solutions, which pursued by the righteous will lead us to unfruitfulness. We can end up getting emotionally attached to what's happening out here in this world and want to take up sides in this world. As an ambassador, we can't do that. You know, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, You know, I hope you're not banking your future on either one of their philosophies as the key to making the world a better place. Either of them. If you are, you are caught in a briar patch full of thorns and thistles, and you just haven't been stuck enough. Move me over to John chapter 8 and verse 23. John 8 and verse 23. As ambassadors, we have to have a different mindset. John chapter 8 and verse 23 says, "And he said to them," Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees, "you are from beneath." And again, recognize the fact, remember the fact, bring to mind the fact that he's speaking to Pharisees. They're Jews who know of the law, who should know right from wrong, who should not be entangled with the world. He said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he, the Father who sent me, is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." Our position, our perspective as ambassadors of Jesus Christ has to be the same. We need to speak and represent to the world the things of God, the mind of God, the plan of God, the future of God, the things we hear and have been taught out of the Word of God. That's what our life should represent. We don't have to walk around with a banner and with the sign and march and try to get someone to follow us. We have to live a way of life that reflects that way of life. We have to speak words that represent what's in our heart, which should be God's word. We should make sure that when we are interacting with nieces and nephews and cousins and work associates and neighbors, etc., that we are always representing them from the perspective that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We don't have to quote scripture. We should be positive people because we know where this world is heading, and we know that the kingdom of God is coming, and we know that the kingdom of God promises peace. So we can have a positive outlook that is focused on the world to come versus getting wrapped up in the solutions that this world believes will bring it peace. Yes, living in this world, we all accumulate opinions on money. We accumulate opinions on war, on race, on religion, on politics. But as ambassadors of Christ, we must speak to the world those things which we have heard from him, the one whom we represent, and not be deceived and influenced by or influenced to love the world around us. You know, 1 John 2:15 tells us, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him." This is not our land. This is not our abode. This is not where, you know, we are to be representing this world. We should be here representing the kingdom of God. John 12, verse 28. John 12, verse 28. It says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. This world is going to be judged. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. It's going to happen. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. This, Jesus Christ said, signifying by what death he would die. This world, this system, this age is being judged. And Satan, the ruler, will be cast out. That has to be our message. That has to be our mindset. The mayhem that we see will not always remain. Jesus Christ will return, and he will address the mess. He will. And if we are faithful ambassadors, we will be addressing the mess with him. That's why we are called. John 14:27. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As ambassadors, we can't run around in this life in fear. Now, there's plenty to be afraid of. But Jesus Christ says here, neither let it be afraid. We have to stay on our knees in prayer to God for protection and safety, particularly for our children. I've gotten more gray hairs over my life praying for my children, that God protect them from things of this world than anything that they have ever done that I need to then pray about. Plenty to be afraid of in this world. Verse 28, Christ goes on to say, you have heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and that the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and go from here. You see, Satan, as the ruler of this world, is here. He's here. Jesus Christ said he was coming. He is here. His system is here. His methodologies is here. The power and authority that he has, he is delving out in abundance right now. To anyone who wants to be a taker. In John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We can't be perplexed as ambassadors of Jesus Christ when the philosophies and the belief system that we live by runs into issues in this world. We can't be surprised when the boss says, well, if you don't come to work on this Sabbath, you don't have a job. We can't be surprised by that. The world does not understand. the truth of God. It hates the way of God. We're coming into a time where no one wants to be told anything. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what not to do. I want to do my own thing, my own way, in my own time. And Satan delves out the cards, the playing cards. You see, there is no place of refuge for the ambassador in this world. You know, this isn't an indictment against good people in this world either. There are a lot of good people in this world. This is an indictment of the system, the philosophy, the means of achieving the goals and objectives of this world. You see, when the ambassador comes, he is representing the goals and objectives of the kingdom of God, which are contrary to the goals and objectives of this world. And if you think this world loves you and loves your objectives and loves your philosophy and loves the way that you go about business and loves truth and honesty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you will be highly disappointed. John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Again, just going through the mindset that we should have as ambassadors in this world. John 16, verse 7, Jesus Christ says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper," speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the power of God, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you." And the Holy Spirit has come. And when the Holy Spirit has come, it will convict. That word convict means to blame, to convince, to shame, to expose. It will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. We are the ones with the Holy Spirit of God. So for you, is the exposing of the sins of this world clear in your mind? Do you see it? As an ambassador, do you clearly see the different sins that are in this world? Whether it's covetousness or greed, or embezzlement, whether it's lying or shading the truth. You see, as ambassadors, the standards for us is extremely high. We have to represent a pure way of life, a pure thought, pure representation. Are you convinced of the righteousness and the future return of Jesus Christ? Are you placing the judgment and blame for the evil of this world where it belongs? It belongs on the ruler of this world, on Satan the devil. You see, the world will pick out whomever. They'll pick out the police officers. They'll pick out the thugs. They'll pick out ISIL. They'll pick out the Mexicans. They'll pick out whomever they want to pick out. As ambassadors who look on this world and say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, where do we put the blame? Where do we see and where do we put the blame?" It needs to be placed on Satan. On Satan. And if we start getting our minds off of the fact and we start thinking, well, it's this group of people, it's that race of people, it's those who are in the South, it's those up North, we are doing exactly what Satan wants us to do. This is Satan's world. That's where the blame belongs. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you know, you may receive a physical paycheck from your employer. I receive a paycheck from my employer and I appreciate it. Hopefully you appreciate the paycheck you receive from your employer or your customers. But your spiritual paycheck, your spiritual treasury has to be in heaven. And you have a down payment as an ambassador, an earnest of the full payment that you will receive for your services will come in the future. And you have to maintain, we have to maintain that perspective. Are you convinced of that, and is your perspective formed and shaped from that reality? That yes, I'm employed by A, B, and C. Yes, I work for A, B, and C. Yes, I take up residence here, there, or whatever. But my true payment is from above. I've received an earnest, a down payment spiritually, and my real work, my full work, my 100% employment, my 7x24 job is an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home, whether I'm in the neighborhood, whatever I am and wherever I am, I'm full-time employed by Jesus Christ. And I represent him. And I represent him. John 18, verse 35. Pilate answered and said, I am a Jew. Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? He asked Jesus Christ. Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. What went through Pilate's mind when he said that? Wait a minute. What do you mean your kingdom? I'm the head honcho here. What do you mean your kingdom? Christ went on to say, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said, what is the truth? Do you know the answer to that question? We all should know the answer to that question. The answer is found over in John 17:17. God's word is truth. His word is truth. That's what we hear representing. God's word is truth. Pilate, God's word is truth. President Obama, God's word is truth. ISIL, God's word is truth. That's who we are representing. 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says here, for the message of the cross, the message of the truth of the Bible, the message of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved. Who are those who are being saved? It are the ambassadors and their children. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The NIV says, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputers of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? God has made foolishness the wisdom of this world. Verse 21, for since the wisdom of the world, since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jew requests a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. We can expand that. The United States seeks after power and influence. Russia yearns for territorial dominance. ISIL promotes a one-world caliphate. Go on and on. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. That's what we as ambassadors do. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, the world, through its wisdom, does not and cannot know God. To align ourselves as ambassadors with any of the political, social, military, or et cetera philosophies of this world is foolishness. It's foolishness. There is no philosophy, no belief system, no perspective, known or unknown, that outtrumps the Word of God. There is none. As ambassadors of Christ, we must know that without doubt. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 says, for you see your calling. 1 verse 26, for you see your calling, brother, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ, who become for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. As ambassadors for Jesus Christ, what does that mean to you? What does that mean? You know, dark brown skin, beige skin, light brown skin, light skin, pink skin, long hair, curly hair, no hair, short, tall, heavy, slim. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. But in every country that I have visited, mankind has some measure of separating out people into classes or into races or into economic levels. Every nation, from Africa to Israel to India, throughout the United States, it does not matter. That is the world we live in. As ambassadors, do we get this? Do we understand that we are called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ? You know, Mr. Armstrong, under the inspiration of Jesus Christ, named the college that provided the foundation of educational understanding and the truth of God to thousands in this age, he named the college Ambassador College. What an inspiration. He named it Ambassador College, a fitting name. Out of Wikipedia, this is what it says. Ambassador College, 1947 to 1997, was a four-year liberal arts college run by the Worldwide Church of God. The college was established in 1947 in Pasadena, California, by radio evangelist Herbert W. Armstrong, leader of what was then the Radio Church of God, later renamed the Worldwide Church of God. But the truth, brethren, the truth is not in a name. The truth of the Word of God is the Word of God. Deviate from the Word of God, rely on the wisdom and craftiness of men, and foolishness will result. I don't care what the name is. Foolishness will result. You deviate from God's word. We saw and we witnessed that happen. Sadly, it will continue to happen in the lives of ambassadors that Jesus Christ has called to do a work for him. First Corinthians 5, verse 9. Says, I wrote to you in my epistle, this is Paul speaking, not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since you would then need to go out of this world. How could you be an ambassador if I told you that you could not sit with, talk with, eat with, walk with, look at people who had major sins in their life and were comfortable with it? How could you do the work of an ambassador? That's not what I was referring to, Paul says. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, and not even to eat with such a person who is a brother, and have become comfortable and have embraced these things. We're not talking about someone who has issues and problems and sins. Raise your hand if you're free from sin. But if you're embracing sin, if that's the way of life that you say that you love, then there's a problem. There's a problem with you being an ambassador. Paul is saying, as an ambassador, you can't be that way. Verse 12, for what have we to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. See, if you were an ambassador of the kingdom of God to Corinth, remembering all the things that we've studied about that society, Paul's statement here is profoundly instructive. It is the same for each of us. We are surrounded by sexual immorality. Absolutely we are. We are surrounded by covetousness. Absolutely we are. Extortion and idolatry. Where are you going to hide? Where are you going to hide and still earn a living, raise a family, live in a neighborhood, socialize with relatives? Where are you going to go? Paul makes clear that the standard for us and between us is very, very high because we are representatives of the kingdom of God. It's very high. If you're struggling in any of these areas or in any area not mentioned, please seek help. Reach out to the ministry. See, ambassadors stumble, ambassadors fall, but ambassadors must rise up, keep moving forward towards the crown that is set before us to capture the rest of that down payment, that earnest that God has already placed within us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and you he made alive, Ephesians 2 verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. For we are his workmanship, drop down to verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, hopefully none of us have forgotten that we are all sinners saved by grace. The course of this world had us in its grip, and the moment we think that we can make it on our own, the prince of the power of the air is there waiting to pounce on us like a roaring lion and devour us spiritually. You see, you may look out and say, well, I'm doing great financially. My bank account is rising. My 401k is healthy. I'm living where I want. I got the cars that I want to drive. All these things are going great for me. And not realizing that Satan, the devil, is chewing you up day after day, week after week, and vomiting you out. Because that's what he does. Colossians 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, not according to Christ. There are basic principles of this world. There are basic principles of this world that this world thrives on. Many years ago, I gave a sermon and referenced the book that I do not recommend. The book was titled The 48 Laws of Power. It talked about ways of becoming superior and being successful in this world. If you want to be successful in this world, you want to be at the top of your game in this world. Let me just read you a couple of these, because the Bible spoke here about the principles of this world. Just read you a couple of these laws. And this book was serious. This is the book that I was given by an executive to help me to get to the next level because I was too soft. I didn't curse in the meetings when things went wrong. I didn't throw things around. When something went wrong and it was my fault, I said, it was my fault. Let me get back to you and figure out how I'm going to fix this. That wasn't the way to make it to the top. Read through a couple of these laws. Law number 2, never put too much trust in friends. Learn how to use enemies. Whole section in the book. Law number 3, conceal your intentions. Law number 6, court attention at all cost. Law number 7, get others to do the work for you and always take the credit. Law number 8, make other people come to you, use bait if necessary. Law number 12, use selective honesty and generosity to disarm your victims. Law number 14, pose as a friend, work as a spy. Law number 15, crush your enemy totally. Law number 20, Don't commit to anyone. Your wife, anything. Don't commit to anyone. Law number 27, play on people's need to believe and create a cult-like following. Law number 37, create compelling spectacles. Law number 38, think as you like, but behave like others. Think as you like, but behave like others. Law number 42, strike the shepherd and scatter the sheep. It goes on and on. A thick book, about 350 pages. The principles of this world. We wonder about the Bernie Madoffs, who, as I mentioned before, had his penthouse at the top of what was called the Lipstick Tower in New York, a huge pink building shaped like a lipstick. That the top was his office, where he had justified in his mind the stealing and the embezzlement of hundreds of thousands of people's 401ks to become rich himself, deceiving and using the principles of this world. Colossians 2, verse 18. Verse 20 said, if you died, Colossians 2, verse 20, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? If we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ, why do we subject ourselves to things that are based on the principles of this world? Now, this section goes on to talk about religious deception, emotional pulls, passions for peace, and all those types of things that happen in this world that can get us hung up thinking that the things that we do that are not consistent with Scripture but can give us a facade of religiosity is what's important. The facade is not what's important. What's in your heart? James chapter 2 and verse 1. James chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's drop down to verse 5. It says, listen, my brethren, my beloved brethren, James 2 and verse 5. God has not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. God has not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who he loves? The poor of this world, in whatever society that they are the ones who are pressed down, considered a blight, a dredge on society. James there in verses 1 through 4 talked about the fact, you know, if you see a person come through the door and he's rich and he has gold on his fingers and beautiful garments and you take him, you sit him at the front seat, but yet a poor man comes in and you take him and you tell him, well, sit over there in the corner because you smell bad. We're showing partiality. But that's how the world, that's the principles of the world. As an ambassador for Jesus Christ, are we sensitive to the plights of the poor? Whatever country they're in. Are we sensitive to the fact that we are ambassadors in the United States that is overflowing with wealth And if you were in Mexico, or you were in Guatemala, or you were in India, or you were in some other country around the world, and you had to care for and take care of your family, why wouldn't you do whatever you could to get your family to a place where they could eat and have a chance of life? Yes, there's regulations. Yes, there's rules. We all recognize that. But I'd be hard-pressed myself if I look over and see the Golden Gates there and my children starving here, to not do whatever I needed to do to get my children over there. Yes, there's rules. Yes, there are regulations. I understand that. But as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, where's your heart? Do you understand what's taking place? Do you empathize? Do you pray for? James chapter 4 and verse 4. James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Do you think that's there in vain? That the earnest down payment that God has placed within you, that God has placed within me, yearns jealously for us to be examples of the kingdom of God to which we have been called? And when we are not following that example, that God, as a jealous God, is not happy? You think the scripture's there in vain? It says here, verse 6, but he, God, gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Instructions for the ambassador. Instructions for the ambassador: submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hands, purify your heart, lament, warn, weep, humble yourself before God. As we look at the news, as we see the plight around us, that must be our mindset. That must be our mindset. 2 Peter 2 and verse 18. 2 Peter 2 and verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, that should be us. We should have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them. According to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Brethren, once an ambassador,
the expectation? Always an ambassador. Always an ambassador. Once you're called into this way of life, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're baptized, minister lays hands on you, God puts that earnest down payment in you, you are an ambassador through and through. Once an ambassador, always an ambassador. No turning back, no double agency, no going AWOL, no giving up the fight. Once an ambassador, always an ambassador. Till death do you part. There's one final scripture for the ambassador that I want to touch on over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. You might say that as we hear, as we read, as we watch the imploding of the world in which we live, and we serve as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, this would be maybe in a sense a summary or our final orders or the last word or the last warning we receive. You can imagine Jesus Christ, who has passed out our orders as ambassadors of his, ambassadors of the kingdom of God, having given us instructions on how we need to look at, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he then sends us out into this world to live our lives, to raise our children. Remember, God did not pray that we be taken, Jesus Christ did not pray that we be taken out of this world, but that we be kept from the evil one. But we're out, sent out as ambassadors. I can see these as Jesus Christ's concluding words to us. Do not love the world or the things in the world, my ambassadors. If anyone loves the world, you end up loving the United States, you end up loving whatever nation you come from, that becomes your focus. The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, my ambassadors. And the world, my ambassadors, that I'm sending you into, that I'm calling you to be an example for, that I'm training you for, that I've given you a down payment in earnest of absolute success, that world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God, the will of the kingdom of God, the will of Jesus Christ, abides forever. We are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. As we listen to the news and whatever will transpire next week, next month, next year, we need to be able to have the mindset, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would want to gather you under my wings, show you the way of life, show you the kingdom of God, show you how to live. Oh, but you are not ready. We are called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ in this dying, corroding, imploding, sad world. But we are not to be of this world. May God help us to fulfill our role as ambassadors for Christ all the remaining days of our life.